Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, for we know God is good and all the time. And we also know that God has called us, the Heart of Christ Church, to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has given each and every one of us that command, and that command holds the entirety of the scriptures for each and every one of us. So today we're going to continue on in bringing that truth to life. And we just want to welcome everybody out there on internet land that is here with us today. And we pray this word is a blessing to you as well as to those of us here in the congregation. Today's sermon is entitled Sermon on the Mount, because again, that through this Lent season, I am preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Raising the Bar. Now that should end with a question mark, because that's actually a question that needs to be answered here. But please remember, we are doing this sermon series in light of the delusion that is around us. Please remember, that's how we came into this season of Lent, looking at the reality that there is a delusion, a great delusion, and it's going to continue to increase, and that darkness is truly going to try to overshadow our world. So with that thought in mind, let us turn again to the Word of God. I'm going to begin in Matthew in the 5th chapter, and I am going to pick up where I left off. If you remember last week, I left off on verse 18. I was supposed to preach through 20, and I ran out of time, so I simply stopped. And I thought, well, I guess I just won't do those last couple pieces, and we'll move on. And the Lord said to me, no, you need them here, because it makes everything else after have sense. Because this is the climax. This is the point of the sermon that Jesus is trying to get to us. So I can't miss it. The point isn't the Beatitudes. The point is what I'm getting ready to say right now in the next three verses from 18 through 20. I am going to continue on the whole way through 48. Okay, this is a big piece of scripture for me to preach. Y'all know me, I can preach on three words for half an hour. So how long do you think we're going to be here today? Well, we'll be here about 40 minutes. So let us continue in the word of the Lord. For thus saith the Lord our God, Jesus the Christ, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, everyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. I say to you, pardon me, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all by either heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your cloak also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile with him, go 2. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Blessed be the reading of our Lord in Christ Jesus. Amen. That was a lot, wasn't it? That was a lot. Well, I'm going to go back through here and I'm going to pick out just 3 pieces of this to examine. And then I'm going to go back and look at where we started, because we need to be able to put this stuff really into context. I love reading the scripture, but we have to understand it must be in context. Amen? Must be in context. So the first thing I want to look at here is the last piece that I read, verses 43 through 48. You've heard it said that you're supposed to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And Jesus tells us here that love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. When we think about what God is doing here, when we think about what Jesus is doing here, we need to understand, where is Jesus in time right now as this is coming to us from the scriptures? I'm not talking now, I'm talking back when he said this. Was he before the cross or after the cross? He was before the cross. So what are we seeing here? What's going on? Here he's telling us, you know, hey, don't just love those who love you, okay, but love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You see, we are supposed to be understanding the law. Remember, he said in verse 18 that not one jot or tittle would pass away, right? So we need to understand that when Jesus was speaking here, he's literally telling them, you need to go back, hence the title of our sermon, Raising the Bar. Because they had lowered the bar that we look only at what it says. We look only at what it says. Please remember, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees and to all the priests when he said, you tithe the mint and the cumin, but you neglect justice and mercy. Because you see, they held to the letter of the law, but they rejected the spirit thereof. Because the law was meant to show us mercy, because none of us can achieve the law. We need to understand, Jesus here, he's not raising the bar. I want you to think about that. He's not raising the bar, he's setting the bar where it was. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, let's go back to verse 33. Let's go back to 33. He says, again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. When we understand what is being talked about there, when we speak something out, we're told in this scripture, don't swear by God, don't swear by the temple, don't swear by Jerusalem. Okay, why? Because those are holy things. I want to ask you a question. How many of you folks out here right now have made promises in your life and weren't able to keep them? Do you do understand a promise is a vow? So if you swear by heaven, if you swear by the things of God, if you swear by things greater than you, your judgment's going to be greater as well. God doesn't want you swearing by these things. They are His things. They are holy. We are unholy. We need to understand what Jesus is talking about here. He's telling us that our yes should be yes and our no should be no. Don't give it any more than that because you're trying to make yourself look better than you really are. And when we understand that as broken people, God knows we're going to screw up. He prepared Jesus before the foundations of the earth for what? To be crucified. We need to understand, God knew we were going to mess up. Don't make things worse for yourselves. Live in accordance to the Word. That's exactly what He's telling us here. He's not raising the bar. He's resetting the bar. He's reestablishing the bar. Because these people would swear by everything holy, but then they would break their promises. Because they would say, yeah, but if you remember the story, Jesus said about the mint and the cumin. What was He saying? You go out here, your parents are in need, they have want and desire, but you say we've dedicated these things unto the temple, therefore we can't help our parents. That was wrong. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You're turning things around. Stop turning them around. Stop twisting them. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. We are told that throughout. I mean, that is, you know, when we start looking at the law does what? It shows us that we're sinners. It shows us that we need a Savior. But when we think we can live up to the law, we need to understand God is not worried about the letter of the law. He's looking at your spirit. Let's go to one more scripture. Let's go back one more scripture. Let's go back to the very first one that we read. He says here, you have heard that the ancients were told, this is from verse 21, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. Now catch this last one. And whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. What's Jesus talking about there? Is He literally telling us that my anger, that my hatred towards somebody and the way I express my words are literally murder before God? Yes. We need to understand, Jesus here is showing us three depths of where we go as individuals. Okay? When you get angry with somebody, you wish ill on them. That is to bring death upon them. And that's your attitudes. That's why we sang that song here in the beginning. Okay? Did you notice what it says in there? That the Lord is supposed to judge our thoughts and our attitudes? Because that's what the Word of God does. It judges our thoughts and our attitudes. How y'all doing on that? Any of you figuring that you didn't mark quite as high as you thought you were marking on that? I know I'm there. I know I'm there. My wife will say to me many times, and I'm not bragging about this. This is a place where I really have to work on stuff. I get, especially since my accident, I get a little frustrated with other drivers. And I say things in the car, and my wife looks at me and says, thank you, Pastor Rich. And I thank her for that because she slaps me back to reality. It's a spiritual slap, not a physical slap. It's a spiritual slap. And the Lord is letting me know, you're as guilty as they are, just in a different manner. And that's what Jesus is looking at here. It goes back to verse 18. He says, for until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. We need to understand, Jesus is not raising the bar. You know, I can remember when I was in Bible college and we were going over this stuff, and the professor that was going over this, you know, he led us right into it, man. We were hook, line, and sinker. Oh, yeah, you know, the cross of Jesus raises the bar, and now we got to be even better. No, that is not what's being talked about here. Jesus never raised the bar. Jesus is the bar. And he says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And we need to understand that he is the one who fulfills it. We can't. That's why he says here, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't give it any more than that, because you're going to fail and you're going to be held accountable to it. You're going to be held accountable for your yeses and your noes. Can I get an amen, church? And we need to understand that. But then Jesus says something here that I need us all to remember. And this is back in verse 19 and 20. Let's look at verse 19 and 20 in chapter 5. He says, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that presupposes something. That presupposes the Pharisees and the scribes are not getting into heaven. Did you catch it? So anyone who is not able to at least even do what appears to be the law is not going to get in. But we, all the way over in verse 48, what does it say? Therefore, you are to be, oh, I love this word. I want you all to say it with me. Therefore, we are to be perfect. How many of you are perfect? How many of me are perfect? Not one, all right? There was only one, and we put him on a cross. And to the glory of God went he, and he has given us all hope. We need to remember, when we read the Sermon on the Mount, and this is something that I feel Christians forget, Jesus was reestablishing everything back to the way it was, because he came as the Messiah. And if the Jews would have recognized him and accepted him as Messiah, where would we be now? We would be in the kingdom now. We would be, and when I say that, I mean he'd be in the temple, he'd be ruling and reigning. You know, all this stuff that we're going through now would never have happened, but he knew that wasn't going to be. So a new way came. This is not the new way. This is letting us know just how far short we fall of that which was the old covenant, and how much more we need the new covenant. Because we need to understand these men and women who were out there who were the champions, supposedly, of the faith. Just how much championing did they do? Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew. Now I'm going to flip my bookmark back because I know I'm coming back. To the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and we're going to begin in the 23rd verse. We are in the middle of the eight woes, okay? We are in the middle of the eight woes. And this is the words that Jesus is speaking. I didn't want to read all of them, but I picked several of them here because I want us to get the picture that Jesus is talking about. Because remember, he taught the Sermon on the Mount to get people to understand who he is. He is the Word of God, which means he is the law. And he came to reestablish the law and to make it holy once again. They rejected him. Why did they reject him? Because they didn't want to be holy. They wanted to be what they were. Does that sound like our world today? Does that sound like the darkness that's in our world today? Oh, God really doesn't care if we abort children. God really doesn't care if we marry, a man marries a man and a woman marries a woman. He doesn't care if you send your little boy to the doctor and have him mutilated and turned into a girl, or send your daughter and have things removed from her. No, that's fine. Wrong. God has established a way, and we are to follow it, because if we don't, woe to you, from verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe the mint and the dill and the cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish. Excuse me, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. When I read that, and then I have to come back to what I just, the last thing I spoke of here, you good for nothing, you fool. Did Jesus use those words? I think he used stronger words. He called them hypocrites. That is next to blasphemy. You understand that, don't you? So he was literally calling them on it. Why? Because he is the Word. He can say those things. Because they fall short. You and I can't say those things because we already fall short in them ourselves. And for us to do so would be to bring even worse condemnation on ourselves. And that is one of the things that we need to understand. Only Jesus could fulfill the law. Only he could bring these accusations. And he, here in chapter 23, was preparing himself, because by this time he had already been rejected by them. He had already been called Beelzebub, and he knew he was on his way to the cross of Calvary. Prior to that, he had to give them the opportunity to accept him, which meant he had to reestablish the law. How much of the law needs to be reestablished in our lives? A lot of it, because we are walking in a darkness that each and every one of us is buying, and we're allowing this stuff to come into our lives to sway us and to poison us and to keep us out of the assembly, to keep us out of the Word, to keep us out of heaven. Did I just read that? Because lest our faith be more than the Pharisees and the scribes, we shall not see heaven. And at least they practiced a portion of it. So too we must try to achieve. But praise be to the Lord of hosts. He gave us his Son. How many of you can say hallelujah, amen to that? Because without the Son of Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, buried, resurrected on the third day, we have no hope. And Jesus knew that. That's why he had to reestablish the law, and they rejected him. Why do you think people outside reject us? Because they are living under the law, because they've not accepted the cross of Calvary. They've not accepted the Christ, the Savior, who has come to pay that price, because we can't. You know, each and every one of us fights against that truth, that when we come face to face with who we are, we're not fighting with God. We're fighting with ourselves. We're fighting with the darkness that's inside and the want of being accepted, that what I am is good enough. And God says, it's not, you're not holy, but I've made a way that is holy, and that way is my Son. He did everything right. He loves you. He poured out his life for you, and he has given you the free opportunity. Now all you have to do is accept him and believe. And the church says, amen. Brothers and sisters, when we think about where we are as a society and how these things are coming together, when we think about what is happening out there in the world, we have to remember there are so many people out there who say that they're Christians. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you. Woe to you. And we need to remind them of it. We need to expose these things because they don't see. How many of us see where we are? How many of us like to admit our faults? You know, as a pastor, I deal with it all the time. I'll bring something up and, you know, hey, it flies against this person's, you know, but I believe everything you're telling me, and I've had these conversations. I believe everything else you're telling me, but don't talk about that. What? I'm supposed to bring the full counsel of God. Yeah, well, but you know, and I can remember this. I can remember this conversation like it was yesterday. God does not talk about politics. I do believe it says in the scriptures that God has established politics. If there's no one political more so than God, I'd like to meet them. We need to understand there is nothing that the scripture does not speak to. You simply may not like it to speak to you. But that's okay, because the scripture also says, if you believe other, God shall show it to you. And I want you to understand something. It may take years for that to happen. How many of you in your faith, I am now in my faith, I don't know how many years, you know, it's over 30 years now I'm in my faith. And how many of you are still coming to those aha moments and saying, oh my goodness, I was wrong. Oh my goodness, I've got to change that. That's called grace. God has walked with you over a period of time because he knows he can't change you overnight. But he knows he will change you enough to accept his son, to walk in the knowledge thereof, and to be renewed in the thinking of your minds. I believe that's in this book somewhere. I think it's like Romans. But we need to come to that place where each and every one of us is willing to see where we are and know what we need to bring. You know, I'm so reminded when I think about how this darkness, this pervading darkness, has come into. How many of you have dear friends, people you love, that you can't talk to about certain things right now? There are just some things, if I bring this up, they're going to disregard me. They're going to cast me out. Don't stop. Keep going. Walk slowly. And carry the good book in your heart. Don't be afraid to speak truth, for we are salt and light. Isn't that what we learned last week? Be salt and light, preserving and edifying. Okay? We need to allow others to see God as a loving God, a God who cares, a God who wants to walk with them, wants to walk with us. Because the law is not less. The law is so much more than what we think it is. And that's what Jesus just taught us here today. And you and I need to understand, this has not passed away. Matthew 5, chapter 5, has not passed away. We are to still try and be perfect. How many of you are still trying to be perfect? We each need to try and be perfect. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not perfect. I don't know any Christian who is. Billy Graham was not perfect. Okay? I mean, we can go back and we can pick on all the greats of our past. We can think on those fathers who passed down this theology to us. We can think of, how about the apostles? What did the apostle Paul tell us? You know, I think about him all the time when I think about the fact that I'm a sinner saved by grace. He went to the Lord and said, take this sin away from me. Three times he asked it. And what did the Lord say? Yep, I'm going to take it away. You don't have to deal with it anymore. No, he said, stop asking. In fact, don't ask again. My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, you're going to walk in this because if I take it away, you're going to forget who you really are. And you need that thorn in your flesh. How many of you need a thorn in your flesh? I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a person of this word, you know you need it, because if God takes the thorn out, you have been the one who took the thorn out, because you no longer think of yourself as having a thorn. Not that you recognize it. That's what delusion is, okay? That's what darkness does. It gets us to see things that aren't there and replace them so that we can think that, oh, but it's okay. It's my body. It's my choice. Wrong. It was your choice not to get pregnant. It is not your choice to kill another human being. That's murder. That's harsh words. And there are many people who have gotten abortions. I don't want you to think you're not forgiven. God loves you, and He will forgive you when you come to the cross of Calvary and simply say, Father, forgive me. That's a truth, and we know it because I am that sinner who has done that very thing. Now, no, I didn't commit an abortion, but I've murdered according to God's word. I've broken my promises to heaven because my yes was not yes and my no was not no. I have hated my enemy and I have screamed at them when they shouldn't be getting screamed at. I've called them a fool, and in that I've condemned myself. I'm guilty of it all, because when we break one portion of the law, we have broken it all, because there's only one law. It consists of several commands, but it's one law. Break any portion of it and you've broke it all. And that's where we need to understand that we need Easter. That's why when the prayer list said on there, Easter is coming. Aren't you glad Easter has already come and we're living in it? That is a truth that each and every one of us should never forget. Because Jesus in this truth is showing us that none of us measure up, not one. So stop thinking you do. Walk humbly. Isn't that the Beatitudes? Okay? Walk humbly. Mourn. Be gentle. Thirst for hunger and righteousness. Do you see how this whole thing plays itself out? And we're going to continue. We've still got a whole lot more to go. And God's going to show us just how short we come. But God's also going to show us to the way, the truth, and the life. And it's my prayer that each of us will come to that place, especially come this Easter, that we as the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, realize I am not that special. But yet, I am called the sons of God. Not because of what I've done, but because of what He's done. And may my life reflect that and not what I am, but what I long to be. And that means we've got some work to do, doesn't it? But praise be to the God of our Savior, God our Savior, who has given us that hope. We can make it through. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the time is short. And there are people out there whose eyes are being awakened to what's going on. But at the same time, in this awakening, I want you all to see it. You know, we see these folks who are seeing all the things that are coming, all this delusion that we've been told, all the lies worldwide, not just here in the United States. This is worldwide stuff. But they're turning it into a political thing because they want to control the politics of this world. We need to remember we're no longer of this world. We are simply in this world. There is another kingdom for us. So we've got to get our friends and those who are out there who are awakening to see it's not a political movement. You can believe in all the politics you want. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They were playing politics with God. They were playing politics with their spiritual lives. But there's only one who saves, and that one is Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we shine the light of Christ in this world, others find our hope. I don't know about you, This past week, I buried two people. In 8 days, I buried two people. And if I go back another week, we buried another. And now I have a dear friend whose mother is perishing, and probably within a week we'll be burying her. We don't know when we're going to go. But are we going to be found faithful when we get there? We sing the song. How many of you have heard? Well, and I shouldn't even ask that question. How many of you know the song, In the Garden? We all sing it, right? We sing it at funerals all the time. I come to the garden alone. You know, we all will come to that garden, and we all do come alone. Nobody gets there with somebody else. The question that I need to ask each and every one of us is, when we get to that garden, are we going to hear words sweet and replete, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or are we going to hear the words, "Away from me, for I never knew you"? We all come to the garden alone, but I'll guarantee you we're not alone when we get there, because there is a judgment that comes. And it's my prayer that each and every one of us, when we think about where we're going here through Lent, that we are working towards that goal, towards where Christ has called us to run the race with perseverance, that we may achieve for ourselves through Christ the crown of glory which He has in store for each of us as we walk in through and with Him. May you be blessed this day. You're never going to meet the bar. Can I get an amen? Father God, we come before you as your children, and we love you and we thank you. Lord God, we will never meet the bar. We'll never get to it. And that's what you were telling us. That's what you've tried to tell us all along. And we rejected you and we put you on a cross. But Lord, even in that, we didn't realize that we were doing something that would ultimately lead to our salvation. But you did. And we thank you for it. Because you have shown us that you didn't raise the bar, Lord. You simply reestablished it, that you are the bar and you paid the price. We can't. So, Lord God, move in the hearts of the hearers here today, that we may strive to be perfect, knowing we'll never get there, but it is a destination that we are to press forward to in every moment. For you have made it possible that we would be redeemed, and in that redemption, we are perfect, for you are perfect. Redeemer liveth. And we give you thanks and praise, both now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.